Hello, my loves. Welcome back to another edition of Hey, How'd You Get That Music Job? I am your hostess with the mostess, L. Ariel, and we can be found at musicjobspodcast.com. That's musicjobs with an S podcast.com. We're on all the streaming platforms, almost all the streaming platforms, Google Play, iTunes, Stitcher, Podcasts, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, and more. If you are listening to us on one of those great streaming platforms, give us some stars, give us some love, give us some feedback so more and more people can find out about our little podcast. Now, today is going to be a little bit of a departure from the norm. Normally, I interview the movers and shakers and innovators from all aspects of the music biz. As you all know, we're at 65 episodes and counting, and I just have the most kick-ass guests from, again, all areas of the music biz. But you know what? More and more I've been thinking about, and maybe this is like a subgenre of, hey, how'd you get this music job? But this idea of how do you do that creative job? It's one thing to be in the music biz, to be having a music career, being an artist, being a musician, or even if you're not, being in such a creative industry. What is that all about? And so I thought that I would talk to y'all about my experience of being a musician in LA, an artist in LA, and what does that mean and what's been my experience. And if this is not for you, if you're like, oh dear God, no, this is not. I want to hear an interview. God damn it. Like, what is this bullshit? I get it. And just hit pause. And if you're in the car and you don't have the hands free or something, you know, I apologize. You have to hear me keep talking. But if you're like, yeah, I really want to hear what L. Ariel has to say, then get cozy, my loves, because I'm going to be blabbing on for a little bit. So I'm going to talk about, again, what it's like to be a musician, an artist in LA. This is my experience. Everyone has a totally different experience. So I'm just going to be sharing my opinions, my perspective. It's all about me. God, I got to love it. If you want to make it all about you, start your own podcast. God knows there's really amazing opportunities out there, and more podcasts would be awesome. We'd love to hear more independent voices out there. So anyway, okay. So being an artist in LA. So Los Angeles, first of all, I have to say, I love LA. And nobody walks in LA. They do now. I mean, there's more walking happening because it's, you know, hey, it's good for cardio. And now that they have like Fitbits, it's really good to get your steps in. So more and more people are actually walking in LA. And then it never rains in Southern California. Actually, it does because we've had an unprecedented amount of rain this spring and winter. So yeah, so things are changing. I think we need new songs written about LA. We're gonna have to work on that. At any rate, I love LA, and I just love this city so much. It can be a real pain in the ass. It can be really, really difficult, really hard to live in LA for a myriad of reasons. You know, we definitely have a lot of issues. This is not a perfect city. This is not utopia. But I personally have just, I really, really love the city. I really do. And I'm originally from Boston, as many of you know, and I love Boston, and it's in my DNA. I will always be a Red Sox fan, and the Yankees will always suck. But yeah, LA is just where I want to be. Once I moved here, I never thought, oh, this is cool, but what if I lived in this other place? Or what if I, and I definitely, you know, travel is in the future, definitely, but this is my home. This is it. And it's interesting because I think Los Angeles, too, is a last stop for a lot of people. It's sort of, you know, as far west, go west, young man, as far west as they can go. And this is kind of where the dreams are made. Like, remember the beginning of Pretty Woman, the movie? For you guys that don't know early 90s movies, Pretty Woman was about Julia Roberts was a sex worker who did a really bad version of Prince's Kiss song and fell in love with Richard Gere. And some other stuff happened. But it was, yeah. Anyway, there at the beginning of the movie, this guy's like, welcome to Hollywood. What's your dream? Everyone has a dream coming to Hollywood. And it's very true. Like, this is a very creative, artistic, ground zero destination for millions of people every year from all over the world. And I think there's a lot of lost souls out here because, again, it's kind of that last stop and it hasn't worked for people in other locations. So it's sort of like, I know they say like New York, if you can make it there, you can make it anywhere. And I think if you can't make it anywhere, you try to make it in LA. That would be the flip side of that. But yeah, it's just, it's a very creative bubbling up with all these artists and dreams and big, huge desires and wishes and that type of thing. And so, yeah, we are definitely sort of, I think, ground zero for that from all over the world. So as I was saying, it's really difficult to live in LA, you know, just for the basic reason that it's a really fucking expensive city. It's a very expensive city. A lot. It's comparatively speaking, right? It's like probably expensive to live anywhere, but particularly in Los Angeles, I think unless you've been living under a rock, like people are pretty well aware of the housing crisis that we have here, where there's just so many homeless people. It's really heartbreaking. And again, it's just really very, very difficult to find any kind of affordable housing in Los Angeles. Again, it's a very expensive, cost of living. It's just gas is expensive. You still do need a car or some way to get around. This is a huge, giant, sprawling metropolis. So this doesn't really, they're working on it, but they don't really have a very coherent subway system as of yet. It's hard to get around. There are buses, but again, it can take a really long time, not to mention the traffic, which I won't even get started with. Oh my God, the traffic. But yeah, it can be a tough town, and you really do need to support yourself. And I've spoken with amazing artists like Matthew Mayer and Joshua Turner and the latest Teresa Teague about, having that day job. And some people still do have a day job because, again, it's like, how do you support yourself? In LA, it's really interesting because there are, it's like, if you're an actor or a musician, become a bartender, become a server. You know what? Those are like the toughest. Those are the hardest jobs I think I've ever done in my life. I'm not kidding. Like, shout out to all the servers and the bartenders out there, because seriously, like, you're dealing with the general public, and then you add alcohol to the mix, and it's just like, oh dear God, it can be unfucking believable. And in LA, it's a career. Being a server or a bartender is a career. Like, they take this shit seriously out here. So when I first moved out here, I went and tried to get a bartending job. Just like, hey, this is what you're supposed to do. I'm going to go get a bartending job. A lot of places, especially if you're going to like the industry, Hollywood, that type of thing, they want headshots. They want resumes. They want, like, this is an audition. This is not like you working at Applebee's in like the middle of Ohio. Not that there's anything wrong with that. And that's still a challenging position. But yeah, it's just the expectations here are so much more through the roof. And, they want you to be one of the beautiful people. Are you one of the beautiful people to serve, make our establishment look good? It's pretty insane. And these jobs are incredibly competitive. I learned that. I was very humbled. I learned that the hard way. There's a lot of actors, right, in this town, right? It's Hollywood, so a lot of actors, and they want these shifts so they can audition during the day, right? They want the primetime shifts, like nighttime, so that they can do their shit during the day. They can go to auditions, they can go to acting class, and then they can be making serious bank during evenings when people are going out to dinner, going out for drinks, going to the club. So yeah, it's an incredibly competitive environment. And I had a resume, I did not have a headshot, but I did manage to get a bartending job, day job. So I was dealing with drinkers that may or may not have been alcoholic as they were drinking steadily throughout the day. But again, it was just a really interesting observation. The other thing is too, is like, beautiful people out here, as I said, beautiful people. You got your prom queen, you got your captain of the football team, you've got the big fish from the little ponds all coming to LA to make it big. So I actually, now some people are like, oh, I don't want to deal with beautiful people. I actually think it's kind of cool because it levels the playing field. Like, if you think you're hot, 9 times out of 10, there's somebody right around the corner that's 10 times hotter than you. So therefore, your hotness level is automatically decreased. And again, it kind of makes everything more level playing field. And that goes for talent, too. That goes for talent for musicians. You know, you think you're hot shit and, you know, you really blew up in your high school band. Like, come out to L.A. because, you have people coming from all around the world that were the biggest. Maybe they were the biggest hit in their country and they're coming out to L.A. So that's the type of competition that you are dealing with. So, yeah, so it's really tough to find the type of job that's going to support your music career, your creative endeavor. And we have, let me just tell you, we have a ton of bored, disaffected hipsters out here, too, that fill these slots very nicely. Everything from the hostess stand to the barback. So, yeah, this is no joke out here. Like, it's a serious career industry, the servers industry, customer service type server industry. This is hardcore. There's also, obviously, now the sharing economy, which does make things easier, and I'm putting easier in air quotes that you can't see, so easier air quotes. We're Lyft and Uber and Postmates and Grubhub and things that you can kind of Instacart, where you can kind of make your own schedule, but we know the pitfalls of that too, right? Like, sometimes they're making less than minimum wage, and they're kind of dealing with the onslaught. They're dealing with the grind of, like, big nameless, faceless corporation that doesn't really care about them, or very demanding customers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And they're just, you know, they're just doing the grind. They're just doing the best that they can. I tried to do Uber, and I was able to do it for a few months, and then I just, like, got completely burnt out. I mean, I think driving in L.A. for 8 hours in L.A. traffic is just, like, it takes a better man or woman, obviously, to do that. And I couldn't hack it. It's a really tough. So all these things have, there is, for all the advantages, there's disadvantages. But again, it's like, how do you earn a living while supporting your art? How do you make that money so that you can afford a place to live in a very expensive city, that you can actually afford to get groceries, that you can actually afford to get transportation? Because again, you got to get around. This is a huge city. And how do you do that? How do you make car payments? How do you pay for gas? How do you pay your bills, etc.? So it's a hustle, baby. And again, just don't take anything for granted. Like, tip your bartenders, tip your servers, because man, they're working as hard as possible to support their creative endeavors. I mean, 9 times out of 10, it's an actor or musician that is doing this, and they're doing it for a reason, and they're just doing the best they can, and usually not making very much money at all. So again, just, if you've got a little extra dough, if you can leave it for your favorite neighborhood bartender or server, go ahead and do it. So the other thing is that we have a lot of industries out here. The entertainment industry, duh, right? Disney, which owns everything. And Fox, and we have HBO, and we've got the whole Silicon Beach, which is like, you know, miniature version of Silicon Valley. So there's a startup culture here. We have Netflix here. We have Sony, if you're talking obviously the music biz. We have Sony here. We have Universal here. So should you get a job at one of these, like an industry job, should you work at one of these companies? I say absolutely, but no, just like the servers and the bartenders, these jobs are very, very competitive. There is a huge demand for these jobs because, again, everybody's coming to LA for these jobs. So understand that it's probably going to be less pay and more work. And you have to take that into consideration, especially if you're an artist or musician and you're trying to use all your free time to pursue your creative endeavors. Because again, you have people, and I've interviewed plenty of them that aren't artists, musicians, like their focus is this particular music industry career, right? Like they want to work in the business of music. They want to work in the business of entertainment. So that means a lot of long hours. And it means, like I said, probably not the best pay. I think they're getting better, but chances are it's probably going to be below sort of the average because, again, cost and demand, right? Or no, what is it? Supply and demand. You know, what's available? What's, if they don't have to pay that much for somebody who's just hungry and wants the job, why should they? So that's another thing to kind of take into consideration. Same with startups. Startups are, they may have the keg in the break room and they got the foosball table, but they also expect you to spend all your time there. So it's like why Google has its own campus, because they don't want you to leave. They want every piece of you. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I think it's wonderful if you're really, if you're doing something that you love and you love spending time there, like how great is that? That it's like this fun community, basically, right? Where you don't ever have to go outside. You can just stay there and everything's taken care of. You're dry cleaning, there's like pet sitting, there's everything is in there. But just know that, yeah, it's like you basically, they kind of own you in some respects, meaning like they're going to probably take up most of your free time. And again, if that's what you're into and that's what you want, like all power to you. But if you are, again, an artist trying to create, trying to do your own independent project, that's something that you really do need to consider. Okay. So there's the good and bad aspects of that, of work, because again, you could be meeting the people that you really need to meet. Okay. Now I'm going to talk about the venues out here, right? Like, who doesn't want to play Sunset Strip? Who doesn't want to play Whiskey A Go-Go? Who doesn't want to play the Viper Room? Huge, iconic, the Troubadour, like huge, iconic venues. It's just an incredible city. So it's a musician's dream to be able to perform in Los Angeles. And it's also, I'd say, a little bit of a nightmare. So here's these iconic venues, right? How do you get shows at these amazing venues? It's really tough. It's really tough. So here's the thing. When you are performing in LA, know that no matter what day of the week, chances are you are competing with shows that are unfucking believable, right? So any night of the week, you could be competing with the likes of Beyonce or the Black Keys or Hot Chip, or just, I'm just throwing names out here, like any genre, or Ariana Grande. It's just you're basically like, there is millions, all right, maybe not millions, but like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of bands, artists performing at the same time. So this is the type of thing that you're competing with, essentially, any night of the week here. This is, again, ground zero for the entertainment industry. That's a whole other thing, like the entertainment industry. And like, what movie premiere could somebody be missing by going to your show? Like, that's a real thing here. Or what talk show or what late night show or game show is somebody like not going to be an audience member in by going to your show? Yeah, it's pretty nutty. It's like the things that you're competing with. You're not just competing with Netflix or like the Game of Thrones finale. Like, you're competing with really huge entertainment events. And again, it's every night of the week. So that's one aspect. Then getting into these venues. Well, you don't usually contact the venue itself. They have promoters. I need to get a promoter on this show. I've made a few outreach emails to some promoters I know, and I because it's, God love them, like it's a tough job, and I think it's really important for us to hear from promoters, because again, what they're trying to do is they're trying to make a living. They're trying to help the venues get people in seats, or you know, people in the door buying drinks, so that they can pay their server, their bartender, who is in the industry and needs the money to pay rent and be able to continue to pursue. So you see, it's like this whole cycle. It's the circle of life. So it's a lot. It's a lot to, they have a lot on their shoulders. And what they want to know is how many people you're going to bring in the door. That's called a draw. Now, obviously musicians and artists that are listening to this are like, duh, I know what a draw is. But not everybody does. So a draw is basically how many people can you get to come to your show. So there's a whole subculture of pay to play. And what that means, again, for those of you who don't know, I'm sure plenty of you do, but pay to play means basically I'm going to pre-sell a bunch of tickets, guaranteeing that I'm going to have 25 to 50 to 100 people coming to this show guaranteed. And what the guarantee means is that if they don't show, I have to pay. I still have to pay the venue. I still have to pay the promoter. So if I said, okay, I'll be able to get 20 people in here at $10 a pop, and that is $200. If I don't get 20 people in here at $10 a pop, I have to pay the $200. Does that make sense? So it's kind of a racket in the sense that you're doing the promoter's job for them, right? You're basically like out there hustling to get people, or you're paying out of pocket. I don't do this. I did it once and I got burned because I basically like agreed to an astronomical number of people to come in the door that I just wasn't going to be able to achieve. I think it was like wishful thinking. And so I ended up having to pay out of pocket. And when I got to the venue, there was like nobody there, which means that the venue nor the promoter did any other promoting of the show themselves. It's like, it's a partnership. Like the venue should be promoting you. They should be making an effort to spread the word through their channels, social media or whatever. And then the artist is expected, especially in this day and age with social media, the artist is expected to be promoting the show, getting people in, you know, having a solid fan base. So it shouldn't be all one or the other. It should really be like a good solid partnership. But yeah, I will say that there's a lot of, especially nowadays with social media, there's a lot of pressure on the artist to deliver, to bring in a certain number of people, a fan base, a consistent fan base number. So pay to play, I had a pay to play promoter approach me. And that's the thing too. They're like always seeking out these artists like myself that are kind of just starting out in the business because they know, hey, I want to play. Yeah, fuck yeah, I want to play the Viper Room, or fuck yeah, I want to play Whiskey a Go-Go. So, and again, they're just trying to cover their own butts, but it does turn into kind of this losing proposition, especially if you're not a trust fund baby or have like a huge bank account, that you're basically going to pay for the privilege to play at one of these shows. So I had a promoter basically say to me, like, she threw out a number at me, like 25, 30 people on a weeknight, which again, like weeknight, kiss of fucking death, right? Like weeknight, 10 p.m., like forget it. Like good luck with that, unless you're like Beyonce or something. It's really tough to get a weeknight, Tuesday night, 10 p.m., like really tough to get people in the door for that. And she was like, I had to laugh because this is so woo-woo L.A. shit. She's like, well, you know, maybe you just really need to use the law of attraction. And I think, you know, if you just really manifest those numbers, then you will have that many people come to your show. And I was like, oh my God, she's pitching the fucking secret to me in order to make me pay for this fucking venue. So I was like, no, thank you. Thank you so much. No, thank you. So again, promoters are kick-ass. I've worked with some of the best. I'm definitely going to get a promoter on the show. But yeah, there's some shady characters out there that, again, they're just looking at the bottom line. They really just want to make some money, preferably off of you, especially if you're willing to pay to have the privilege of saying, yeah, man, I had a show at Whiskey a Go-Go. Then that's what you get, what you pay for. I personally, like I said, it's not feasible for me. And it's also just kind of like I've taken a stand. Like I'd rather not do a show unless I can bring in the numbers, or again, it's all like authentic. I can't do it. So I'm just going to leave it at that. No judgment. Cause you know, again, like some people just want to fucking play the Whiskey a Go and they're willing to pay. It's just like, you know, you're willing to pay for the privilege. And I say shout out, Godspeed, all that good stuff. But that's just not me. I can't roll with it. And the other thing is, so we're talking about venues and stuff. It's like the traffic. This is like, people are going to be like, what the hell if you don't live in LA? Traffic is a bitch. That's all there is to it. And the travel thing is also something you got to think about. It's like, are people willing to come out to see your show if again, like if you, it means like sitting for over an hour in rush hour traffic or going across town and it's going to take 2 hours to get across town. So, I mean, there's like so many jokes, like I never go east of the 405. That's for people that live like close to the beach, because again, trying to get anywhere in LA, LA has the most incredible freeway system. If it's 2 or 3 in the morning, probably like, I'll even just say like on a Tuesday night, 20 minutes. You can get anywhere in like 20 minutes or less. It's fucking amazing. If it's like 2 p.m. or 5 p.m., 2 hours, 3 hours. Like, it's just, there's so many cars. There's so many people. This is a city of 4 million people, okay? LA has 4 million people in the city. Awesome if you never want to run into your ex ever again. Not so awesome if you want to get across town, or you're hoping you really run into that guy that you met at the bar last week. Like, good luck to you. It's like Lewis and Clark on an expedition to find that person again. But anyways, I digress. Okay, so what does it mean to get a following in LA? It's really hard. Once again, it's really hard. You're competing with, like I said, the Beyoncés of the music industry. You're competing with like A-level performers, right? And huge fan bases. So it's very difficult, I think. And again, this is just me, but it can be very difficult to establish a local following, something that might be a lot easier for you to do in a town or city that, again, doesn't have as competitive and as intense of a music scene as LA. Now, I will say the caveat to that is there is, and this is one of the reasons I love LA so much, there is this huge burgeoning artistic community that is so far from the industry, art, acting, music, and it's completely removed from the mainstream industry. This city, in my opinion, is incredibly diverse and culturally rich. It is just so phenomenal, but you have to look for it. You have to look beyond the obvious. You have to look beyond the industry. You have to look beyond the most popular haunts, beyond the tourist attractions, to the sort of like underground scene, which isn't even really underground. But again, it's just in the more of the outliers, the outer reaches of the city, in the community, in places where it's not as well known. There is just an incredible, creative, very independent, I'm just going to say artist community. So artists meaning, again, art, music, acting, performance, you name it. Dance, that's another huge one. The very, very cool thing about this as well is that if you have any type of genre, any type of music genre, you're like the Chipmunks, you sound like the Chipmunks on acid. Chances are there are at least eight to 20 different bands in Los Angeles that have a very similar sound, have a very similar genre. And on that same note, there is a fan base for that. There's a group that digs that. And I love that about this city. It's like, whatever you're into, you will find your tribe here. This city is so freaking huge. And there's so many different people here that you will find your tribe. I guarantee it. You will find your fan base. You will find your tribe. But it's going to take some work because there's so much out here. There's just so much out here. It's very dense. So that's the thing. You might actually have to just get out of Hollywood and look for, if you really want to establish that local following, you may just have to look outside. So, like I said, we're talking about, you know, maybe even like the OC, like different counties. So LA is a county. There's like the OC, there's the Inland Empire, there's San Diego, there's Santa Barbara, there's Ventura. So looking beyond, again, this sort of, because everybody, it's like lemmings, right? Like everybody's coming to LA, everybody's coming to like Santa Monica, this Hollywood, Sunset Strip. It's like, okay, there's plenty of people that live outside of that. And how do you tap into that? I think that's something that, again, that's how you can really find your tribe. That's how you can really establish more of a fan base. And again, like get more of that local following, maybe get more consistent gigs and more consistent opportunities, again, is sort of looking outside. Because like I said, you have to remember you're competing on a global level when you come to LA. You're not just competing with the locals. And frankly, who the fuck are the locals here? Because everybody is from somewhere else. So yeah, it's just, you're just one of a million fish when you come in a not a huge pond, but still not that huge, right? So how do you go outside of that and looking beyond that? And again, I think a lot of people have, and that's what makes that beautiful, rich, diverse, vibrant, artistic, like I said, underground scene, which is, again, isn't even really underground, but the industry just tends to overshadow it so much that it really, you do just have to make that effort to see beyond it, to look beyond it, and to just look for these opportunities. So now I'm going to get into networking. Networking, do you need to live in LA? So I've talked about this with guests, and it's interesting now, obviously, with social media. I think that that's changing. I think especially I've said, you know, very dramatically, like, Rome is burning. And what I mean by that is just that I think things are getting very decentralized and fragmented, and that's not necessarily a bad thing at all. So LA, Nashville, New York, not necessarily crucial to your success, but it's still a big part of it. And it is such an advantage living in this city, I will say, for networking opportunities, because chances are, whatever, you know, music conference you want to go to, whatever workshop you want to go to, people are definitely going to be more accessible here. Now, there is the whole aspect of like star fuckers, right? So what's a star fucker? That means basically when you meet a celebrity in your industry or just a celebrity, there's immediately this, there's a throng of hangers-on. There's a throng of sycophants. There's a throng of people that want something, want that connection. They want something from the celebrity. They want to be associated with the celebrity. Maybe it's just a selfie. Maybe it's a record deal. But there is this huge sort of, again, starfucker culture that will, you're going to be one of very, very many, many people that are probably going to be approaching this particular individual or celebrity, high-powered individual, because they want to make it in the industry. And I think, you know, that's where we get, when their abuses of power happen, why, you know, the Me Too issue is so prevalent right now. It's just, again, this sort of unequal hierarchy that's been set up of industry professionals and then the hoi polloi, the rest of us. So good and bad aspects of networking, but again, incredibly accessible. You can meet amazing, amazing people out here. And that's something that you can't always do with social media, going to networking events. And again, it doesn't even have to be like the biggest celebrity, the biggest whoever. It can just be somebody that is in a particular field or industry or doing a job or working with somebody that you're like, holy shit, I had no idea. These people are usually behind the scenes, but here I am, I'm getting to meet so-and-so, and they might have really great advice or really great insight for me, or, you know, an opportunity that I can be available for that. So yeah, networking it's pretty amazing out here. I will say, for good or bad. I mean, again, if you can sort of avoid the whole like starfucker aspect, then it can be just an incredible opportunity. Okay, I think that's enough blathering for one episode. I hope you enjoyed that. This new sub-genre, what would you call it? Like subset? I don't even know. Anyway, how do you do that creative job? I think what I want to do is get some more artists in here. Just, it doesn't necessarily even have to be musicians, but maybe, you know, other creatives, just to talk about how they do that creative job with me. It doesn't obviously have to just be LA, but just in general, how do you do it? How do you hustle? I want to hear from you too, so please reach out if you want to share. I'd love to share that too during the podcast. If you want to write to me and tell me about how you do your creative job, how do you do that hustle? How do you keep those creative juices flowing? How do you meet your obligations and responsibilities while doing that creative work? Would love to hear more and more about that, because it ain't easy. It certainly is not an easy task. It takes so much hard work. So definitely want to hear from you. And again, I want to have more creatives come on the podcast and talk about that, while we will still be doing our good old one-on-one interviews with the movers and shakers and innovators of the music biz. So thank you again so much, you guys. I hope you got something out of it, even if it was just like, wow, El Ariel used to be a bartender and serve alcoholics during the day. Right on. Well, that was really insightful. Like, whatever. Or you learned the definition of a starfucker or what. Anyway, I'm just going to end there. So my loves, thank you so much again. You can find us on musicjobspodcast.com. That's musicjobspodcast with an S. Also on social media at musicjobspodcast. I am your hostess, L.Ariel. You can find me at lariel.music.com. That's lariel.music.com. At lariel music on social media. So drop me a line, say hi. I would love to hear from you. Okay, baby, so we are going to take good care. We are going to keep on hustling, pursue that dream, and don't you give up.